Thank you, Pastor Bill. When I asked you if I could do this, I didn't think you'd really accept the offer of me taking it. I figured after you were off on the Thanksgiving service that you might want to speak today, but that's okay. Good morning, everybody. It's good to be home. Once upon a time, these words start most fairy tales, and they are sometimes followed by in a land far, far away. Typically, these tales involve individuals that find themselves in a hopeless situation and trying to conquer their fears of rejection. Naturally, through the course of the tale, the leading characters have their problems and troubles resolved, and the story ends, as they say, and they lived happily ever after. Oh, if only life were so simple that no matter how much negativity we had to deal with, it would all's well, it would end well. But how do these individuals end up so happy? Who helps these individuals through their troubles? Snow White found the home of the Seven Dwarfs as a refuge after the evil queen wanted her killed because of her beauty. Cinderella had a fairy godmother who allowed her the opportunity to be liberated from her wicked stepmother and stepsisters. Even Little Red Riding Hood had the woodsman rescue her from the big bad wolf at Grandma's house. And Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, had our most heavenly Father. Hang on. Did I just compare the Lord and Savior to a hero or a heroine in a fairy tale? Well, yes and no. I don't know how many of you remembered, but Pastor Bill has Jesus Christ the action figure. So why can't he be in a fairy tale? So I scoured different versions of the Bible, and not one of them did I find in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, them starting off with Once Upon a Time. However, they do tell the tale of a man who came to earth and experienced mankind's feelings of hopelessness and rejection, yet ultimately, his life led to our triumph. In Luke, Jesus tells us how he must suffer terribly and be rejected by the whole nation. In Matthew, Jesus tells us how his disciples will all desert him and how even Peter, the one who declares, "If everyone else deserts you, I won't," is told by Christ that before the cock crows at dawn, he would deny him three times. And he did. Temptation, criticism, ridicule, loneliness, acceptance, forgiveness. Tempted by Satan in the desert, criticized by the Pharisees and the priest, ridiculed by thousands of doubters, lonely even when surrounded by a crowd, acceptance of his fate, and the final forgiveness of those who destroyed his body, but not his spirit. When life hands you lemons, what do you make? No. You make lemon squares. Lemonade is too easy to make. I mean, it takes water, sugar, and lemons. However, our lives are a bit more complex. So lemon squares, now there's an art. You have to make sure that the crust isn't too soggy and that the filling has just the right amount of lemon in it. And of course, you want to make sure the sugary topping is sprinkled ever so finely. Baking is a passion of mine that I actually neglected this past year. I make a great butter cake and buttercream frosting and a chocolate chip cookie that would put Martha Stewart to shame. Part of the reason I enjoy baking so much is that I enjoy the pleasure that it brings to others as they enjoy the treats that I've made. You know the saying, made with loving care? Well, it's true. But when you just feel like you can't make it another day, nothing you do seems right. No matter how much pleasure this task may have taken or brought you in the past, and no matter how much attention you think you're paying to the task, it's never enough. And things happen, like missing ingredients, fallen cakes, runny batter, hard burnt or undercooked cookies. My enthusiasm for baking and many other activities I enjoyed left me when I experienced feelings of hopelessness and rejection. These are feelings that most of us, all of us, have experienced at some point in our lives. Some, like me, had suffered at a greater intensity. And I have to tell you that those feelings brought me to a very dark and lonely place that I didn't know how to get out of. I leaned heavily on my family, and they ended up having to carry me and my burden most of the way. I neglected my church family and my friends, and I turned my feelings inward. And I wondered why God had made my cross so heavy to bear. And I wonder, would God purposely ask me to take up this cross that he knew would zap me of all of my energy and leave me lying helpless, even to the point of giving up? And the answer I discovered was yes. Jesus forewarns us in John that without me, you can do nothing. So I had to take up this cross, my cross, and struggle on with it until I learned that lesson. Without him, I can do nothing. It was not until that cross was so heavy and cumbersome that it pushed me down into the dust that I learned the lesson that it is not by my might or my power or my strength, but by his power. That is what the Bible means when it says his strength is made perfect in our weakness. It has never meant that God's way is a little bit better than ours and that his strength is a bit more superior. It means that God's way is the only way, and his strength is our only hope. Every day felt like a struggle for me. But once I opened the door to my heart completely to allow God back in, that feeling of hopelessness diminished. I felt like I was living in the Footsteps poem. You know, the part where it says, "But Lord, I have noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there's only one set of footsteps. I don't understand why when I needed you most, you would leave me." And the Lord replied, "My precious, precious child, I love you, and I would never leave you. During your times of trials and suffering, when you see only one set of footsteps, it was then that I carried you. He is with me. He has always been with me." My maternal grandmother passed away when I was under a year old. She was suffering from some ailment that left her weak and hopelessly bedridden. To spend time with me, she would tell my mother to lay me at the foot of the bed. She couldn't hold me without help. But me laying there and her watching me was enough. I don't remember anything about her except what I heard from family members and through pictures. At her funeral, I was told my mother sang her mother's favorite song, "Eye on the Sparrow." It's not one of those popular songs you hear on the Christian radio stations. But one Sunday, last November, I was wallowing in self-pity, questioning God, searching for answers, feeling hopeless, rejected, and terribly lonely. An Eye on the Sparrow came on the radio. And I'm unexpectedly overcome with a feeling of comfort by a song that has so much significance to my family. It's a beautiful song, and the words of the second verse are so meaningful. "Let not your heart be troubled," his tender words I hear. "And resting on his goodness, I lose my doubts and fears. Though by his path he leadeth, but one step I may see. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me." It was like an epiphany. And it was at that moment that I knew I truly was not alone, and that nothing can be hopeless with God on my side. And that rejection by others is nothing so long as I have accepted God into my heart and he accepts me. In the book of John, Jesus says, remain in me and I will remain in you. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. And so I asked at that moment of revelation for the Lord to heal my heart and to help me forgive those that I needed to forgive. Jesus' steadfast love for the Father was enough for him to overcome those feelings of hopelessness and rejection. He knew what path he had to walk down, and his commitment to walking down that path has been a blessing for us all. And no matter how difficult or uneven that path seemed, he continued to walk down it, seemingly alone. Yet the Bible tells us that the Lord was always with him. The Lord is with me. He has always been with me through all my trials and my triumphs. And because of this, my life's path has not been so lonely. And knowing the peace that he has given me and telling me to not let my heart be troubled and to not be afraid because he is always with me has truly been a blessing. Everything in our lives happens for a reason, the good, the bad, the ugly. Jesus' life and death happened for our salvation. Everything happened up to his crucifixion had to happen so that we could truly understand the sacrifices God was willing to make to save our souls. God does everything with a purpose, and he spells it all out in life's recipes book, the Holy Bible. And when we take the time to follow recipes like making and baking lemon squares or chocolate chip cookies, the resulting treats are gratifying to the maker. And God, being our maker, puts so much love into us. And when we forget to follow the recipes that he has given us, his commandments, because we think we know it all, we're left feeling hopeless and rejected. But following his recipe for living can only lead us to continuing, glorifying his name and letting us live the life that he intended us to live, a life full of hope and his continuing acceptance. And through his love, all of our once-in-a-lifetimes can truly have a happily ever after ending. Amen.